Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, he said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." How many of you children like to play the hide-and-seek game? You like hide-and-seek? Can you think of the very first people who ever played that hide-and-seek game? Who were the first people who ever played that? You know what their names are? Just shout it out if you know. Adam and Eve. They played the hide-and-seek game with who? With God. And did God find them? Yes, he did. Now, many people are still playing that hide-and-seek game with God. And God is still seeking. But it's not really a game. It's a life and death hide-and-seek game. God is able to find us. And do you know why he wants to find us? In our hiding? Why does he want to find us? Why did he want to find Adam and Eve there as they were hiding? What happened? They disobeyed, didn't they? They did their own will and reached out and took that fruit, and their relationship was broken. And so God is looking for them and wants to find them, and he wants to have relationship with them again. And now they realize they're naked, and they're trying to cover themselves and hide behind the bushes. God comes along and so earnestly wants to have relationship with them again and wants that relationship restored that was broken because of their sin and rebellion against God, that he comes along and says, as it were, "You're not going to be able to cover up your own sin, your own nakedness, the shame and rebellion of your sin against me. And I so desperately want this relationship with you that I myself am going to provide that which is needed to cover you so we can have relationship again." And so what does he do? He kills those animals. There's bloodshed. And then he provides from the very life of those animals skins to cover them. He so wants relationship restored with them that he himself provides to cover them. And that verse that I read there, or that I quoted, chapter 16 and verse 15, says, "Blessed is he that watches." Jesus is coming like a thief, and blessed is he that watches. For those who are watching and praying, it's not going to be like a thief. For those who are children of the light, walking in the light as God is in the light, it's not going to be like a thief. We're children of the day, and we wrap ourselves in the garment that God provides, which is Jesus himself, as the Apostle Paul talks about. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself took upon him the sin and the shame of our nakedness, our rebellion against God, in order that we might be covered, his blood available for us to wash ourselves and to be forgiven of our sins, and that we might be covered in his righteousness. I want to talk about the full coverage plan of salvation that God in his love has provided for us to be able to be saved from the day of his wrath. Paid in full by the very life and blood of his own dear son. And why do I want to talk about that? Because there's a day coming when all those who have not enrolled, as it were, for this full coverage plan will find themselves crying out for coverage. And we see them pictured in Revelation chapter 6, crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And the opportunity to enter into that love relationship that God has made available for us in Christ Jesus, his Son, is no longer available for them. And now they're desperately wishing for coverage rather than facing the wrath of God apart from the love of who he is and what he has provided. Let's pray before we go on further. Father, we thank you so much for your provision for us that you have made so freely available in Christ Jesus. For the blood, thank you for the blood that washes us and cleanses us and reconciles us back to yourself. Thank you for paying that high price, Lord Jesus, for being willing to go through all the way to the death of the cross so that God's kingdom can come in our lives and on this earth. And we pray that your will would be done, Lord, so that we may be covered in your provision. Thank you for the righteousness that is ours by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing yourself to be stripped of your robe, taking upon yourself the shame of our nakedness, our sin and rebellion against you. And Lord, we recognize that you are not the problem in this broken relationship. It's us. And yet you, in your love, you provide for us to be covered because you so intensely and long and desire to have relationship restored with us, your creation, rebellious, fallen, sinful, shameful humanity. Thank you, Father, for so abundantly providing all things that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Just break your bread of life to us today and help us, Lord, to enroll, if we haven't yet enrolled, for full coverage. To fully enroll and to daily stay enrolled so that we may be of those who are found watching and praying and not lose our clothes and be found unprepared in that day with no coverage from your wrath. Oh, the awfulness of facing your wrath without full coverage. Thank you for supplying coverage in Christ Jesus for us. Amen. This day is a day of gladness. The day of the marriage of the Lamb, when God again shall be with his people and dwell with his people forevermore, wipe away all tears, all sadness, is a day of gladness for those who have received the coverage that's been provided. And we see that pictured in chapter 19 of Revelation, where the marriage of the Lamb has come. And it says, let's be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. She did something to prepare herself to be ready for that day. And we see the full coverage in the next verse. She's covered and able to enter into that relationship that was broken. And to her was granted in verse 8, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. It was granted, it was given, it was provided for her to be able to be arrayed in this fine linen, clean and white. And this fine linen, it says, is the righteous acts of the saints. And I heard a brother sharing on the righteousness that is ours in Christ several years ago. And that little word, actions, the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, threw me for a loop a little bit. And I thought, wait a minute, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's by faith in the finished work of Christ alone. Not by our own works, lest any man should boast. But what are those righteous actions that he's talking about? This coverage plan that God has provided is only good if it's received from the inside out. As we see there in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, from the inside out, this coverage plan is good. Otherwise, if we don't go receiving it from the inside out, we end up with a sheepskin over a wolf. And we'll find out in that day that the light of his glory will reveal that. And it would be an awful day to face his wrath and discover that. Jesus in John chapter 6, let's just turn over there to John chapter 6, and Jesus gives us this inside out plan that is available for us. John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus speaking here says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." What does it mean to eat of Jesus? To eat of this plan. I see the full coverage plan here. Just like we saw there in the garden, there's blood. The blood was shed. And out of the very life of those animals, coverage was provided. He that eateth my flesh, it says in verse 56, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. Dwells in him. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood. The very life of Christ being received to change us from the inside out. The Apostle Paul, when talking to the Romans in chapter 5 of Romans, he says we're justified by faith. Justified by faith, and that's in the first verse of Romans chapter 5, he says we're justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you jump down in verse 9, he says, "Much more than now being justified by his blood." We're justified by his blood. We've been forgiven. Faith in his blood has made us righteous. God has imputed righteousness upon us. And we've been justified. And now been reconciled and saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What does it mean to be saved by the very life of Jesus? Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life." My burden for the message here this morning, and if I'm going too fast, maybe just be brave enough to shout it out and say, "Slow down," or explain what you mean. I have a tendency to run ahead of myself and go too fast and not connect the dots properly. My burden for the message here this morning is that it seems like many are willing to go with a partial coverage plan, partial enrollment. Many are willing to receive the blood and to be forgiven of our sins, to be washed and to be cleansed, but are not willing to pay the high price of eating of his flesh in order that we might live. And as the Apostle Paul says to the Romans here, we shall be saved by his life. Now that we've been reconciled by faith in the blood, by his death, how much more now, since we were reconciled, while we were enemies, we were reconciled by his blood, by faith in his blood, how much more now shall we be saved by his life? His very life. And as Jesus said, we have no life in us unless we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And so my burden is that many will come to that day facing the wrath of God only to realize they didn't enroll in the full coverage plan. It was too expensive to enroll. Because in order to partake of his life, I need to let go of my own life, my own will, just as Jesus did. Pick up my cross and daily follow him. And though it's been fully bought and paid for, it costs us everything. It costs us our very life. Am I exchanging my life for the life of Christ? The Apostle Paul says to the Colossians, and we can turn over there, to the Colossians, chapter 3. He says, if you then be risen, verse 1, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the earth. Why? Because you're dead. You're dead and your life is hidden with Christ. You're covered. You're covered in him. And then, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you also shall appear with him in glory. Is Christ your life this morning? Is he your life daily? Do you eat of him and drink of him in order to receive this life? Or have you settled for a list of do's and don'ts that you would rather not have to comply with? And the heart change that comes from eating and drinking of the very life of Christ, not really a reality in your life. This coverage plan is very expensive. And because it's so expensive, many will choose to walk the broader road and not fully enroll. Oh, we would love to have partial coverage in case of fire. Well, we want to be saved from the wrath of God. We want to be cleansed in the blood. But we don't want full coverage in order to have life insurance and actually be saved by his life in the end. Or maybe as we're going along in life, it gets too hard. And though we've received with joy the word of God at first, by and by, we're offended because of the high cost. And we fall by the wayside and we become unfruitful. And we fail to, in an honest and good heart, receive the word of God and let it bring forth fruit out of our lives. And we fail to stay enrolled, endured to the end, so that we might be saved. How many times did Jesus say, unless we pick up the cross daily and deny ourselves, we cannot be his disciple? Forsaking all other loves, including the love I have for myself. This coverage plan, as I mentioned, is so freely available. If I see the treasure that is mine in Christ, that life that is hidden in Christ, if I see that as my treasure, that treasure that's hidden in a field, I can for joy thereof go and sell everything else I have and buy that field. But if I don't see the treasure, if I don't see it as a treasure, I probably won't sell everything I have. So Lord, open our eyes to see the treasure of the kingdom of God. Thinking about John chapter 6 again, I might just flip back there, you don't have to. But John chapter 6, how did Jesus do it? He calls us to do it in exactly the same way that he did with his Father. How did he do it? And he tells us there in verse 57, he says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats of me, even he shall live by me. And so if we want to know how to do it, study the life of Jesus. How did he do it? What did he come to do? Never once did he do his own will. And he learned the high cost of obedience by the things which he suffered, by never yielding to his own will. And that path led him all the way to the death of the cross, which has opened up this path, this same path for us, to be able to do the same thing, just as he did with his Father, and to eat of his flesh so that we might live. So the Apostle Paul, again, just in the book of Colossians there, he speaks of this need to remove the old and put on the new. So let's just take a look at some of that breakdown of what he describes the old to be like and what the new is like. The old man being our old sinful nature that we are born with, and the new being a picture of the new man, Christ Jesus. Verse 5, he says, "Mortify your members which are on the earth." And this is the breakdown of what the old man looks like. And if we are really honest and evaluate ourselves and examine our own life honestly before God as to whether or not this is the man that we're dressed with, it will profit us. But unless we're honest with it, it won't profit us anything. So as we read this, just be really honest before God. What is my life like? "Mortify therefore your members upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness," which is idolatry. "And for these things' sake, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them." Or are you still walking in them? "But now," he says, "put off all these: anger," this is a further breakdown of this old man, "anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Have you put off that old man with his deeds so that you might put on the new man? And then he describes the new man. He says, well, first he says, "and put on," again, that coverage plan that God has provided. "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Just jumping down to verse 12. "Put on, therefore," this is the breakdown of what that new man is like. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." And all of these things, it's really Christ that we're putting on. As Paul tells the Romans in chapter 13, verse 14, he says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." And the cross is the only way to do that. We cannot bypass the cross and expect to get anywhere. If we do, we'll end up with a sheep's skin over an evil wolf. And as we go throughout life, as Jesus said, "I've sent you out as lambs among wolves," they'll be able to tell by the fruit that comes out. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And we get a bite from a wolf, and that which is underneath gets exposed, that'll give us a clue whether or not we're being honest to the core, or whether or not we just have a sheepskin over the evil wolf, that evil, sinful, corrupt nature that we're born with. Verse 13, he goes on down through further breakdown of just the beautiful things of what this new man is like, the new man, Christ Jesus. If we put him on, he says, "forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if anybody has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you." And then last but definitely not least, in fact, most importantly, and if we don't have this one, all of the rest of our efforts profit us nothing. And above all, verse 14, Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We could do a further fruit test over in Galatians. If we turn over there. And this test, like I said, only works if we're real honest before God. It only works in honest and good hearts. Galatians chapter 5, we can do a further fruit test to see whether or not we've been liberated, set free from ourselves, set free from that old nature, that evil, sinful, shameful nakedness of the nature that we're born with. Verse 13, have I been liberated from that? And am I lovingly serving others? That's what I've been liberated for loving service to others, a channel of love. Then he breaks down for us the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And again, if we're honest, as we look down over this is probably something that we might do well to just take home before the Lord and to pray and be honest with before the Lord in our closet. What is my life like? What is the primary drive of my life? What is coming out? What is the fruits that are coming out of my life? Is it the works of the flesh or is it the fruit of the Spirit? Verse 16, let's just break in there. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, and the Spirit and the flesh. Sorry, let me start over here. I should get a Bible with bigger words that I can read better. I think my eyes are not as good as they used to be, even though I'm still young. Okay. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And now for the test, the honest evaluation. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have told you in times past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he breaks down the beautiful new man, the fruit of the Spirit within us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And then he says this, those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Have I crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts? Flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now is the day to be honest, because that day of wrath will expose to the core who I am. Now I want to turn back a little bit here in Galatians and read from the first part of Galatians here, chapter 5. The first part of chapter 5, or sort of down a few verses, maybe about verse 4. And maybe I'll just say this. Remember how there Paul says to the Colossians, most of all, most importantly, put on love. This is the most important thing. And the fruit of the Spirit is, first thing on the list, love. Love. And I want to say this, we cannot truly love God apart from His Spirit. Peter tried so desperately and miserably failed, didn't he? He was not yet filled with the Spirit. Apart from the Spirit of God within us, causing us and motivating us, we cannot truly love God. Some are able to perform very well and pick off most of the bad fruit and then make excuses for the rest and try to cover up and make sure no one knows. Some are able to do that very well. Others, not so well. Those who are not able to cover it as well, I almost have more hope for than those who are able to cover it well. Because they can't really hide who they are deep inside. The real deal is out. And all they need to do now is be honest before God and come and receive that which is needed to be able to enter into that full coverage program. So, let me just say that. I think I might have started saying it here. I partially said it. But verse 4 we're going to read shortly here. So, apart from the Spirit of God, we cannot truly love God. If we try to do that, to truly love God, apart from the Spirit, we're going to end up, I'm afraid, ending up like the Galatians here, with being bewitched, as it says in chapter 3. Being bewitched, ending up with a lifeless list of do's and don'ts that we are powerless, or I should say that the flesh is able to perform, but is really not acceptable before God. And though it might have a show of will worship, it does nothing to the satisfying the flesh of dealing with the flesh. It's still the flesh in charge. Verse 4. Verse 5. For we, and here it is, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Spirit is our guarantee for that day to be sealed. Is the Spirit working in my life? Have I yielded to the Spirit? Have I asked God for the Holy Spirit, my Father in heaven? It's no wonder that Jesus said, ask. Seek and knock. God is very happy to give us the Spirit. In fact, he desires to do so. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. But what? Faith which worketh by love, which can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit, causing us to walk in God's ways, causing us to keep his commandments and his statutes. And that's the channel through which we can receive of the life of Christ, Christ's Spirit within us. And as we yield ourselves to his Spirit, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord, we have what it takes to actually love. Faith which worketh by love. It's empowered by love. It's energized by love. And it's almost as if the Apostle Paul starts this thought here, and then flipping over in chapter 6, he says the exact same words again. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. And then it's like he further develops the thought and says, what really does matter? It's new creation. The power of the Holy Spirit within me will bring out new creation. Am I being conformed into this new creation after the image of Christ? Am I allowing all those things that come in my life to work together for good to conform me into the image of his dear Son? So what should I do if I recognize that my test results are not very good here this morning? It seems like maybe I'm clothed with the old man. Even in the midst of all my good things that I'm doing, that old man is very active underneath. The flesh is running my life. Step number one, just be honest. Just be honest with that. Don't hide it. Be honest before God. The Apostle John says in his epistle, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in that light, as he is in the light, we're going to have fellowship with each other. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And walk in love. Walk in love with each other. And those are the two things I want to leave us with. Walk in love and walk in light. Honestly confessing my sin before God, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want to say that I have a long way to go in this sanctifying journey yet. It's a life. As we have received Christ Jesus by faith, so we must walk daily, denying ourselves, picking up his cross, and following him. Walking in the same path that he walked with his Father. Doing his Father's will, not his own. And as I walk in the light of who God is, honestly walk before him, I can be covered in that light. Walking in that love plan that he has provided through Christ Jesus in order that we might be saved from the day of his wrath. And not just saved, just so barely, but actually be able to have exceeding joy in his presence. Exceeding joy. Maybe I'll just turn a little corner here and just thinking about the church of Revelation there, the first church that Jesus addresses, doing all the right things and yet lost their love. And he says, repent. Repent, or I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. If God were to, as it were, pull the dipstick out of my life and check my oil level, my love level, that which is needed for my light to be on, what would he find? Am I walking in his love? And just because I'm doing all the right things doesn't mean that my love is where it should be. It wasn't that way for the church at Ephesus. At what point, how low can the oil get until the light goes off and I'm no longer walking in the light, even though I'm doing all the right things? I have an excellent looking coverage, but inside, no love. The faith which worketh by love is not active anymore. It's just a list of do's and don'ts, lifeless do's and don'ts. Apart from the love motivating us, the light will be off, no matter how good the things that I'm doing are. So even if you see a lot of imperfections in your life, and I see them in mine, in my life, God accepts us in fellowship with him as we walk in his light and we walk in his love. We're covered. And we're protected in that plan. And we'll be saved from the day of wrath as long as we keep ourselves in that love and in that light. Willing to pay the price that it takes to keep us there. This love relationship is a very obedient kind of a relationship. The kind that it talks about there in chapter 15 of John. And maybe we can turn over there. John 15, 16, and 17. As the Father, here's Jesus speaking. As the Father, in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus kept himself in the love of the Father, and he learned the cost of always keeping himself there, the high cost, and he took him all the way to the cross. And he kept himself in that love, always forsaking his own will and choosing the will of the Father. And we are invited to walk that same path. And if we do, the promise is we will stay in the Father's love just like he did. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you are going to abide in my love just the same way that I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And if we are trying to keep his commandments so that God accepts us, we're going to be frustrated and never quite feel his love, the smile of his love. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But if we fully accept, let go of all of our fig leaves, all the covering that we ourselves have come up with, no matter how good it is, and we accept his coverage plan, knowing that we are accepted in the beloved, his blood was the perfect sacrifice, then the power of his Spirit flowing through us, empowering us to actually keep his commandments, and we just enjoy that relationship of love with him, forsaking all else, forsaking all the loves that I have for myself. And these, I believe this love test is really where the dividing line comes in at the end. Remember what Jesus said there about how it's going to be when he comes back? Life and business as usual. Eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. Not wrong things in and of themselves, but people just caught up. Caught up with life and business as usual. And like it was in the days of Noah and Lot. He says, remember Lot's wife. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life will find it. And how many times did Jesus warn us? Take heed, watch out, that your hearts aren't overcharged with other things. And the cares of this life and the lust of other things choke out the word. They grab our hearts. Many of these things are not even wrong in and of themselves, but they take our attention, they take the love of our heart, and the oil level goes down. And we fail to make the exchange that's needed in order to have that very life of Christ within. Am I willing to pay the price of full enrollment that I might be saved in that day of his wrath by keeping myself in his love plan, that full enrollment that is able to cover me and keep me from his wrath? Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Abner. That was a real blessing to my heart. You know, just thinking of testing ourselves and examining ourselves. You know, this past year I have, by the grace of God, been able to do that in my life through a particular set of trials and circumstances that came my way. And at the same time, I knew there was some need there in my life, that things that came out sometimes in an ugly way. And I began to seek the Lord and just to, why are these things coming out of me? And why, Lord, is there bad, you know, the bad fruit at times? And so I just want to encourage us in 2 Corinthians 13, it says, talking about Christ, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then it says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. And we see that Christ, through weakness, yet he was able to live in the power of God. And I just like to ask that question this morning. As we think of our lives, you know, in your, where you're at in your journey, in your Christian journey, yes, maybe there's a weakness in your life. Maybe there's something that, how should I say, maybe you have limitations. And yet, we should, by the grace of God, be able to live in the power of God, in victory over sin, in victory over, bad fruit coming out of our lives and hearts. And so I just encourage us, in that when David says, "Search me, O God, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Sometimes we look at our own lives and we just kind of think we're doing well, and yet there's this fruit that comes forth, sticks up its head sometimes, ugly fruit, bad fruit, And I'd like to encourage us to go on a quest, if that's the case in our lives, and to seek God and say, "Lord, is there some root down in there? Is there something that, what's the cause of this coming forth from my life from time to time?" And I went on that kind of a quest, and the Lord has, it's been a painful year, but it's been a refreshing year for me. I think I mentioned that before. I came across a verse not too long ago that said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." And that word, I looked up the word hyssop in the dictionary. It says a bitter, refreshing herb. And I thought, Lord, that's exactly what I've gone through this past year. It's been bitter, painful, but refreshing at the same time. So I just want to encourage us, if there's this fruit that continues to come forth in a bad way, to seek God. The Bible says, if you seek me diligently, you shall find me. And I think that means not just him, but it means answers to things in our lives that we have questions on. And so I just encourage us to take this message to test ourselves, to prove our... I looked up that word prove, and I Googled it while we were sitting there, and it means to test oneself. Basically, to test, yeah. And of course, examine, we know what that word means, and to... So I encourage us, in our hearts. And remember that, when it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way within me." The same chapter, Psalms 139, is a very shepherding chapter of the Bible, of Psalms there. God knowing us and God loving us and his thoughts being toward us more than the sand which is by the seashore. More than the sand of the earth, it says. So God's thoughts, God's heart is for us. He loves us. But he loves to get to the core issues in our lives where there's things that are manifesting in an ugly way, sticking up their ugly head from time to time, and we just don't have power over that thing. Search your heart, brother, sister. I really appreciate the message, Brother Abner. Thank you for sharing. Anyone care to share this morning? Have a testimony, maybe a confession, maybe either way. This past year has been, the tender mercies of the Lord. I often think of his tender mercies when I think of myself and his patience and mercy and compassion toward me. Somebody have a hand? I thought maybe I saw one. Elmer here.
Yes, I'm just thinking of the trial that Peter went through. I wonder what would have happened if Peter would have never said what he did to Jesus, "I will follow you no matter what." But when he said, when he did say that, the Lord brought a trial. Mm-hmm. Or somehow he came into a trial that changed his life. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what for trials I need to go through yet before the Lord, before I'm totally complete with him. But I'm not afraid.
Amen.
Because I'm trusting him. Mm-hmm. And whatever he brings is going to be for my good. Mm-hmm. I praise God for that. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, wonderful to the children of God? All things work together for good. Our deep pain and trials and sufferings and even our mistakes and failures work together for good to them that love God. Sister?
I guess I was just thinking about how the Spirit... we need the Spirit even to be able to love God like he wants us to love him. And then I was thinking about it, of how I experienced quite a few times that how much I need that, even when I'm loving other people. I cannot in myself love other people well enough. Like, it doesn't reach around. But I need even God's love to fill me so that I can love other people. Mm-hmm. Because my own love doesn't reach around.
Amen. Amen.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've experienced that a few times. So where I just ran empty and I'm like, God, I need more. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lydia. Anyone else?
I guess it's a confession. See, I'm a conniver, and I like to figure out the easiest way to do something before I start the job. And I think God has been telling me that, see, I've been asking him to make me like Jesus, and I want Jesus to shine out of my life. But I guess I have to die first. And I kind of think there's surely has to be an easier way. So I think that's what the Lord is telling me, that I'm kind of conniving and trying to bargain with him that we can come up with a better way or an easier way than dying. Because I really like me an awful lot. And I just don't want to die. It just hurts too bad. So that's my confession. And I covered your prayers that I'll be able to just surrender to him.
Amen. God bless you, Steve. Always like that verse in relation to what you shared in Hebrews here. It says, after, you know, God chastens us. He loves us. To those he loves, he chastens. But then it says also concerning chastening, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but actually grievous. I mean, it's a pretty strong word there. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I feel like today, you know, I'm beginning to experience that fruit of righteousness that I came through. I mean, through the chastening that he's been doing in my life, the fruit of righteousness is beginning to manifest itself. And it just feels good. It feels like God accomplished, you know, what he was wanting to do.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.